Welcome to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. At Village, we seek to be shaped by the life of Christ, to practice authentic friendship, and serve the world. You're invited to join us at either our Mission Campus or our Antioch Campus. For now, we hope you hear a word for your own life in this sermon.
Scripture reading this morning is from Jonah chapter 3 verse 1 to chapter 4 verse 3. You may find this scripture on page 845 of your pew Bible. Please join in the prayer for illumination. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we seek your presence to help us understand and proclaim your word for truth and justice and reconciliation. For we trust your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Prepare our hearts and give us grace to receive your truth in faith and love. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing, we may be obedient to your will and live always for your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh. "By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human being or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Human beings and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger so that we do not perish." When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and ready to relent from punishing. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever.
So I'll confess something to you. Sometimes I wish God had called me to be something other than a preacher. You probably wish sometimes God had called me to be something other than a preacher, too. Sometimes I don't want to be the one to remind myself and you that no matter what happens in our lives, God expects us to walk through it standing under His Word. I know that's what God expects. But what do you think God is saying to us this week? What do you think? Let me tell you some of how I'm seeing our faith intersect with all that we've witnessed this week. Let me begin with Monday. Monday, I was on a plane flying both literally and figuratively because I had just participated in Reverend Jenny McDevitt's installation to Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York. It was a wonderful celebration. Jenny honored me by inviting me to preach, and she also invited Reverend Meg Perry McLaughlin to provide the charge to the pastor. Both of them asked me to bring greetings to you. They are doing great, but they miss you. On the way home, I read Reverend Hallie Hoddle's sermon that she preached to you last Sunday. She is a very fine preacher. And as I said in my e-note on Friday, reading through that and experiencing last weekend, I became aware again of how blessed we have been and continue to be by the faithful ministry of these women. Also at 28,000 feet, I read Jonah again. At times, I laughed out loud. There was a woman sitting next to me in the seat next to me, and she could see that I was reading the Bible, and I think she was a little offended that I was laughing. Must be a Baptist. But guys, this is a funny story. It's a funny story, and the fish is just the beginning of it. It said the word of God came to Jonah a second time, and this time, with the fish still fresh in his mind, Jonah decides to carry God's word to Nineveh. But don't be deceived. Just because he obeys, he's still reluctant. Jonah preaches, 40 days more, and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's it. Isaiah took 66 chapters. Jeremiah had 52 chapters. Ezekiel, about the same. Jonah needs 8 words. And unlike the other prophets, people actually responded to Jonah. Not only the folks around him, but the king and the nobles. And then it gets even more silly. Even the animals participate in repentance, wearing sackcloth and fasting. It is the greatest expression of repentance, and it happens in Nineveh. He speaks 8 words, and the whole town comes singing, "I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." As prophets go, Jonah should be in the Hall of Fame, the prophetic Hall of Fame. Except this. It seems to me Jonah finds himself in Nineveh, not just because the Ninevites need to hear God's word, but because Jonah does too. Jonah needs to speak it, because Jonah needs some conversion himself. As Jonah was afraid, he gives his 8-word sermon, and the Ninevites repent all the way down to the sheep, and God forgives. And when God forgives, Jonah throws a temper tantrum, like a 2-year-old who's astonished that he's not always going to get his way. He throws a tantrum. Now look, a temper tantrum in a 2-year-old can be kind of cute, particularly if it's somebody else's 2-year-old. But he's a full-grown man. It's not cute. Jonah berates God. "I just knew you were going to do this. This is the reason I went to Tarshish in the first place, because you are nothing but merciful and gracious, and I just can't stand that about you. I would rather die." What? Isn't grace supposed to be a good thing? Don't we want God to be gracious? So why does Jonah see grace as a problem. I just knew you would be gracious, he said. That's my problem with you. Why? If I understand the text, Jonah is angry because he sees who God is so clearly, and it not only causes him to see his enemy with new eyes, he has to see himself differently. Because remember, when the Word of God comes to you, it does not come simply as information or even inspiration. The Word of God always comes as a claiming word, a bond, a word of love and grace. And Jonah is mad because he understands the Word of God comes to him. But to them? You see, up until this point, Jonah could tell himself that he was better than them. He mattered more to God than they do. Jonah's mad because he's arrogant. He believes that he matters more, that relationship to God is some kind of spiritual Olympics, and he's meddling, and the Ninevites, they're disqualified. But he sees now that's not the case. The same word that comes to him also comes to them. And it's not just that grace comes to them and they're unworthy. It means Jonah has to face that no one is worthy, not even him. I think every one of us has moments, we face circumstances where our self-perception is that we matter more than somebody else. And I think that's a dangerous circumstance. It's arrogant, like Jonah. My junior year in high school, we did the musical West Side Story. I tried out and I got cast as the leader of the Jets. You remember the leader of the, what was his name? Biff or Riff or Poof or something. I can't remember, but I had to dance, I had to sing, I had lines to learn, I had to die on stage. I was very dramatic. And when the play ended, and it was a good play, it was a high school play, but it's a good play, the audience loved it, and they showed their appreciation, they applauded, and you know how you come out one at a time. And when I came out, they thundered. I mean, okay, maybe the walls of the building didn't shake, but that's how I remember it. Really, it is. And so the next day, I walked through the halls of Lakeside High School with a little swagger I did. Yes, even the little people, ninth graders, came up and said, "Was that you? You were so great." And I said, "Oh, it was nothing really." For about 3 days, I convinced myself I was great. I walked among ordinary folk of modest talent, and like Fred Craddock says, I held onto the shrubbery to keep from ascending. The temptation to think that you are better than someone else is overpowering and seductive. Jonah gets mad because now he has to give up that image of himself. Now he realizes that from God's perspective, the evil Ninevites are not all evil. And the good and righteous Jonah is not as good and righteous as he would like to think. And so they are more alike than he would like. He's arrogant. So does this have anything to do with what we've witnessed this week? What do you think? Let me tell you where my mind and heart has gone. You know, sometimes something happens in politics that triggers something larger in the culture, and that's where my mind has been. I've been thinking less of Washington and more of you. I've been thinking about those of you, some I know and many I'm sure I do not, who have this week been reliving circumstances of abuse or assault. The CDC reports that one in three women, and 1 in 6 men will have an experience of sexual assault or rape in their lifetime. This means this is a disease that is not under control at all. And it also means, just statistically, there are a lot of us in this room for whom that is our story. So one fall day in my 9th grade year, Richard Baker got off the bus at my stop. It wasn't his stop. I was just a beanpole kid, 9th grader. I weighed probably not 100 pounds, and most of that was braces. And Richard Baker was 2 years older than me and probably 30 pounds heavier than me. A lot of that was his hair. He pushed me down in a neighbor's yard, and he beat me black and blue. I remember what happened the day before on the bus that made him so mad. And I remembered trying to get away, but he was too big. He was too strong for me. I remember the next day and almost every day after that, trying to go through the whole school day without going to the bathroom because I didn't feel safe, because he promised he would catch me in there and do it again. Now, let me be clear. I am not in the least traumatized by this. I was in the 9th grade. I'm not in the 9th grade anymore. But I do remember it. And because I remember it, I remember that feeling of not being safe and not being in control. And so I, in a small way, can imagine how some of you, no doubt, have had memories of violence and sexual violence rise up and haunt you again this week. It's just been in the air, getting you in touch with those feelings of being degraded and unsafe. Sexual assault hotlines have experienced a dramatic increase in calls this week. Of course they can. Of course they have. There's no wonder. So listen, this is more than Dr. Ford and Judge Kavanaugh. This is about us. This is about the culture in which we live. Some have said the big thing about these stories is, do you believe them? Can you believe them? I don't think that's the most important question. I think there's an earlier, prior, more important question. And that is, when you hear them, do they matter? Does it matter? Because I think for far too long, the abuse of women and men have just been deemed, look, it's just the way it is. These things happen. It's unfortunate, but it's just the way things go. Let's not drag it out or bring it up. And victims have been blamed and shamed and mostly ignored. And we don't want to think about it this way, but I think the reason is we have found ourselves in this circumstance because of arrogance. We said it doesn't matter. You don't matter. And that's arrogant. And I've contributed to the problem. I've contributed to the problem because as a preacher, I didn't want to talk about it. It seemed unseemly to me to talk about sexual assault in church. But I was wrong. Because when 1 in 3 women and 1 in 6 men, when that's their story, what's unseemly is to know that there are brothers and sisters in our church family who have carried these burdens of pain, and our silence has suggested we're not interested because we don't care. And that's wrong. So if this is your story, you're not alone. And in my faith and in my heart, this is what I know. The Word of God comes to you where you are. It doesn't come as information. It comes as a claiming word, a word of grace and love that promises you are not defined by the worst moment in your life. You are defined by a holy love that will never let you go. If your story is one of assault, you can talk to us and we will trust you. You can talk to us and we will listen to you and we will pray with you. For too long, America has said this kind of pain doesn't really matter. But I think the Word of God is coming to us, and I think that attitude of arrogance is changing. And I want to be part of that change. And I bet you do too. I'll tell you something Jonah never figured out. The grace of God, the love of God, is never something for which we compete. Because our distinctions with one another about who matters and who doesn't, about who is worthy and who's not, those distinctions are always greater in our eyes than they are in God's eyes. Because there's no one who is excluded from the love of God. We are all God's children. We don't need to be better than one another. We just need to know we are loved. And when it comes to God's children, she will speak that gracious word over and over and over and over again until it sticks. And when we can trust that we are really loved, then we won't be envious that our brothers and sisters and neighbors and enemies are loved. It'll be something we can celebrate. Pray with me. Gracious God, we believe. Help our unbelief. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I can see.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon at Village Presbyterian Church. Learn more about us at villagepres.org, and we invite you to join us again next week.